Praise be to God. I was thoroughly enjoying Andrew's ministry. And yesterday also, as I was translating, I was wondering in my heart that not only I was translating, I was really getting a message out of the story of Jabez. And this morning I was meditating upon Jabez itself, just to make sure that I grab all the truths which we heard yesterday. So I'm truly glad, and I was praying, keeping that verse in my mind. This morning I was wondering what to take, and three portions quickly came to my mind, and at last I settled with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. So let's read that verse, and then as the Lord leads, we will look some of the parts. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. This verse, whenever I think about Borivali Assembly, and when I am asked to come over here, I think I come here at least two times before. This is one part which comes into my mind. Though you know and are established in the present truth. That's the feeling I got with the believers in Borivali Assembly. And especially because you are blessed with elders who are thorough with the word of God. So I thank God for them and even for you. Especially when I see the youths. You know, I think last time when I came for ABC or some other camp you held, you know, they had a quiz program and I was part of it and I was not able to answer half of the questions. They were going so fast that before understanding the question, I already lost my chance to give an answer. And I found that you children are really like, you know, that fast processors going. So I could see that even the youths are well prepared. So truly this is what the feeling I have for you. You are really established in the present truth. But then Peter is saying that doesn't matter. That doesn't hinder me from ministering by way of reminding you. So Peter is saying that I know that you are established and you know certain truths. But I am here pressed on by the Spirit to remind you. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Now, in this first session, I will be just trying to give you a wholesome understanding of a particular line of thought in 2 Peter. You know, Peter is bit worried when he is writing this letter. Even if he is saying that you are established, he is bit worried. The worry in Peter, I could put it in this way, that even if they all believed the second coming and the advent of the Lord, it doesn't really reflect in their thought process or in their actions and in their life. That's the feeling Peter got when he is writing this letter. So he's saying that even if you know, if I will ask you, you will give me the right answer. But that's not what I see when you discuss, when you talk, when you are afraid, when you take your decisions. That is not what I'm seeing. I could see that your life is of very short sight. As if you are blind. As if you have no clue about the Lord's coming. As if you have really no hope beyond this life. But at the same time, I also know that theoretically, you are well established with the truth. So I just want to bring that thought in you. And I was in fact assured that this is what I should speak when the very moment the Lord's servant took his portion, saying about the Lord's coming and the persecution and how we need to be engaged among in that situation. I want to take your attention to 2-3 verses of 2 Peter. First of all, we will read verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. See? Short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. You see, why we ran to the Lord for salvation? What's our aim? Why we ran, oh Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, save me. It was not just for forgiveness of sin, was it? Oh, my sins are forgiven and that's it. No. We really want to reach that place where we would thoroughly enjoy the very presence of God. That's where we want to reach, right? None of us are saved for the sake of being saved from punishment, but also to be with Him, eternally with Him. So that's our real goal. And for that goal, we need all these things. And that's how we have come to Him. Our hope is not limited to this world. So here Peter is saying, there are certain things which you need to do once you are saved. And that is to add up. What all we need to add? I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to elaborate on that. But I want to give you that idea that we have begun our spiritual life not for anything which finishes over here, but it is to reach there, to be with Him, and then begin eternity. So, I'm going to read from verse 5 onwards. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, the word "and" it comes over there. And, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. What is short-sighted? I want to go to Gujarat, Ankleshwar, or I want to drive to Rajasthan. I should add up certain things. I should check my wallet. I should check my license. I should check my vehicle, its condition, and pour enough petrol in it, right? I should not straight away take the vehicle and go. If I straight away take the vehicle and go without getting prepared, my sight is short sight. See, I have to travel some 1,000 kilometers or maybe more than that. Keeping that in mind, what are you adding up in your preparation? So this adding up, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, is all because of your right sight. You're looking far. You're preparing in that way. Have you ever noticed this fact? Think that you want to come to Uran. It's hardly some 60-70 kilometers, but by the time you reach, you will at least travel. It will take a time of say 3 to 3.5 hours. Now, you will be really frustrated because 60-70 kilometers, 3.5 hours, you'll get fed up. Where is this Uran? Even drivers, taxi drivers whom we, you know, hire, they say, "Ab tak pahuncha nahi kya?" I said, "I told 55 kilometers from airport, it's 55 kilometers. Look at your, that readometer. It says it's only now 45 kilometers. Lekin bahut drive kiya aisa lag raha hai. You know, that's the way Uran is. What I mean to say is that the same person, if you get into a vehicle or a train to Kerala, after 3.5 hours, will you get frustrated? Even if the train is slow? No, now you are prepared for 24 hours. So when you get starting frustrating, get that feeling of frustration, it's after say 18, 19, 20 hours, right? Because that's the way you are ready. So that's readiness makes you really prepared to finish good, finish strong in the end. But short-sightedness comes where? This lack of preparation, the lack of adding comes where? Because you really didn't think properly of this journey. And that's the same issue which Israel faced when they left Egypt, right? Did they have a real proper idea? We are some 15, 20 lakh people and our movement is not going to be as fast as one family is moving on a camel or something. And then there is a lot of things which is required and there will be some issues which we have to adjust. And the leader has to get guidance from God. And that movement, if we really sit and think about it, we will be patient. But these people, when they left Egypt, I think they left Egypt like a child who cares nothing. You know, when I was a child, my father used to say, Mone, you have to study, study, study. And I like jackfruit a lot. I hope you also, of course, like. And so while eating jackfruit, this was told to me. So I said, Papa, why should I study? I will leave eating jackfruit. You know, there are lots of jackfruit. And I don't care about dressing. I don't care about house. There is already a house. And all I need to eat, and I have enough jackfruit. See that sight? But then we see one or two with Moses who has that sight, right? Today Abdul was mentioning about Caleb, and we have Joshua. Look at their sight. They're ready to adjust. They're ready to suffer. They had the same problem which others also had. But they were ready. But are you keeping that long journey in your mind? Have you started your spiritual life knowing that you are going to heaven? You are going to God. And so that you have to add these things. So that's what Peter is saying. Short-sighted even to blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. What happened over here is that these people who started their journey by cleansing their sin, the first step, even that they forget. You know what they did? They came back. Verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. They started stumbling. Because they were not making sure of their call. Again, the call. The call is not for today or tomorrow. The call is for eternity. The call is for eternity. You are ready. You'll start thinking of the end only after 22, 23 hours of the journey. Not at 3.5 hours of the journey. None of us will complain, those who are adult, you know, after getting into Giridra, then after 3 hours, he will say, it's already 3 hours, brother, where is Kerala? Nobody will ask. So that's the way we need to begin. So you need to make sure you're calling that way also. Yes, Lord, we have just begun, I'm ready. I'm still fresh. So Peter, when he is writing this letter, this is one thing he had in mind. You know what? Believers started thinking, oh, he told he will come, but he has not yet come. Oh, means what? Oh, let's stumble, let's go back, forget. That forgetfulness brings this word, oh, I will remind you. I will remind you. So I don't want to be negligent, but I want to remind you. And that ministry of reminding, you know, you can see it throughout 2 Peter. I want to show you another verse, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. What does that mean? Yeah, I know that this is the way I want to remind you. As long as I am in this tent. Means, please don't get fed up if I remind you again. This I am going to do till I die. Now, I still remember Uncle Thomas Matthew saying that focusing Christ. And then he says, please don't get fed up with me. You know, this is the only thing I will give you. Again and again and again and again and again. He keep on saying this one thing. Simon and Gil, all these elders were focusing towards Christ. And at last, I got the crux. The message. After many messages, I got it. And when I got, I started asking the youth, what do you get really from Fort? Many did not get that. Then I understood why it has to be reminded. And so here he is saying, till I am in this tent, I am going to remind. And then to stir you up, reminding you. Stir you up means, these elements are there. All I have to do is bring it back to the surface. Bring it in movement. You know, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? He will remind you. We whenever we come for Bible study, all what we want is new. But all what the Holy Spirit gives you is reminding the old But we are so away from those facts that you look as if it's new. It was there. You know, you might have heard this. There is no new story. It's old story happening to new people. Have you heard that? So, this is what Peter is saying. And then it's not finished over there. Look at verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my. Oh. Not only I will remind you till I die, but I will stir your heart in such a way that the velocity you catch up, the acceleration of that stirring is such that I will, when I die, I am sure it will continue for some time. You know, somebody died from our assembly. He stirred our hearts to such a way that that impact is going to continue for another 50 years. You know, whenever I minister, I always try to find some feedback personally, not collectively, personally from someone who got the click of the message, the crux of the message. I don't ask normally, but I wait to see the hints of it. And at times I've been very, very disappointed. Because all what they say, still they miss the point. They have all the truths, but yet it's not getting caught up properly. But after 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, now I am getting some feedbacks personally from some brother or some sister who got the click. And then I would say to the Lord, oh Lord, those ministry, I thought it might have gone vain, but I'm glad some fruits here and there. So here Peter is saying that after my decease also, I want to stir you in such a way, I want to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Those who minister, what do you want your assembly to remember after your decease? Now, we have this tendency also, after my decease, people, what should people think about me? Come on. That's not what you were ministering for. You were his minister. When you die, what they will hold off? Not you. You're okay, but that's fine. You need to have a good testimony. People should think good about you. As we were thinking, you know, job, man of fear and uprightness and things like that. We need. But more than that, Peter is saying, after my decease, I wish that you may remind you. So hope you're getting that line of thought. You know, so Peter is having this feeling. What? Believers are, in their heart, going back, thinking, since the Lord is not coming, persecution is doubling and tribulation seems to be getting closer and closer and I think we are not going to fulfill the Lord's promise. So there is a kind of slackness in them. And so Peter is writing this. I want to show some more verses in that same line. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Again, he's saying this is the same thing I did in 1 Peter also. That's what he's saying. And he's doing the same thing in 2 Peter. Of course, in 1 Peter, we have commonly understood that problems were coming from outside. But in 2 Peter, the problem were within, because they had some people who would teach that the resurrection is over, or the Lord's coming is going to delay, or he will not come, things like that. So it's a problem which has crept inside. So that's the problem Peter is actually dealing with. And so he is saying that, you know, all what you believe is precious, all the scripture we have is actually can be believed, and we have to believe the prophets, the apostles. He's bringing all the foundation so that these people will stand. And that's why he is saying, see in verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So not only that, we know that in chapter 1 he says that what, how scripture, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Why he is saying this? So that they may stand on it. They may look long enough, far enough, with the right sight. They may not get disturbed or frustrated, but anything which is happening immediately, they are ready for a 24-hour journey. That kind of mindset they have got, Peter is trying to set in. And for that, he has to give all the foundations. That's why in verse 1 he is saying, to those who have obtained like precious faith, that which you have, count it precious. And it is the same faith we have, like precious faith. So, the faith, the scripture, the prophecy, the beginning, the end, everything Peter is bringing so that they will have the right attitude of journey. Now this morning what I want to emphasize is this simple truth. How much this fact of the Lord's coming has affected, impacted our day-to-day life. Why is that day-to-day life? When you get up in the morning, how much this fact affects that morning? Does God's coming have anything to do with your morning? Huh? When you went to sleep, well, were you aware that will you see this morning? Not about death I am saying, if he comes. When you sleep, do you have this fact? Then what Peter was reminding, is it on the notes? Oh, I remember. Songs of Fire, Songs of Page Number, etc. Not that. Stirred up in your mind. Stirring up your pure heart, pure mind. It's a continuous thing with you. I wish that every children, every youth, when you study hard for your exam, you should also remember, the Lord can come on the day, on the very day, the result is proclaimed. The Lord can come when you are writing your final exam. So how should I study? Oh, brother, you have really taken off my mood to study. No, that's not the fact. You should not get in surprise. Oh, I never thought, oh Lord, that you will come. I thought I will at least get a job and at least a first month's salary and then buy a mobile and then you come. And some will say, oh Lord, my child's marriage and then. One day with freedom, or my lawn finishes. So where is that thing? So I would teach this again and again to my people, especially in our assembly, that you should keep both in a balance. That is what the Word of God is saying. Word of God is not and never saying, stop what you're doing. Can I learn? Can I study? Can I work hard? Can I plan? Yes. You should, but never forgetting the fact he's going to come. That's proper remembering. That is awakened state. Otherwise, you are sleeping. According to the word of God, you are sleeping if you are planning without keeping this in mind. When you put your fixed deposit, how many of you think of the Lord's coming? When you invest your money for your second and third home, one here, one in Kerala, and then one, I don't know, where else. Do you have this thing in your mind? And when Peter sees this, he says, I think I have to write 3 Peter now. Reminding the same thing. I don't want to say anything new. When you fight, if you know you have only 2 days with you, will you fight the way you fight today? So what we need to know, that shows in our life. We all know the facts. We are established. In fact, Peter is saying, I know you are established. But the stirring up. And that is what Peter is wanting from you. So he is saying that you need to remember. Okay, again, those who are thinking that about the delay. Peter is actually giving, for in my language I would say, a word of comfort by saying this. Verse 3. You know what is it? Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Is it a word of comfort? This is a prophecy. Knowing that first, that scoffers will come, will come, will come. So when scoffers come, does it comfort you? Yes, the prophecy is getting fulfilled. The scoffers is asking, where is this coming? And then we can say, you are the very sign of his coming. Praise the Lord. As some people are saying, in my heart only. You know, we who believe his coming can see the sign of his coming everywhere. And this is one sign. Knowing that first scoffers will come. And we need to thank God for that truth also we have. And they are going to ask the same question and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Praise the Lord. Exactly. You know, the question is leaked before. You know, you have leaking of questions. Here this time I think for NEET exam also they were saying the questions were leaked. And here the Lord is saying, those scoffers will come. I am giving you the questionnaire itself. Be ready with your answers. What? They are going to ask some sort of question. Question number one. Oh, the Lord has leaked the question. And we would give this answer for them. You are the answer for his coming. So that's what. And then he says about reminding. See again, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5 of 2 Peter. For this they willfully forget. It's again about remembering. When you forget, when you do take your decision, make your plans, for Peter, it seems you are willfully forgetting. Willfully forgetting. How much you want. How much you want to earn. When you will become neutral, thinking properly, correctly. As if you are like in a trance or something. Working in this world like a slave. Day and night. That's what he's asking. You know, I met an uncle who was saying that this is what he believes. He says, within 3 years, the Lord will come. So I just kept quiet because he knows the word of God. I should not say anything. So then he says, you know, I believe before I die, the Lord will come, and I'm already 87. So he says that I will not live more than 90, so the Lord should come within 3 years. I just kept quiet about it because he's already 87. He's an elder of an assembly. So I just said, okay. And then next day morning he's saying, you know, we have already given advance for developing a camp center. And we are slowly, you know, accumulating some fund for, you know, developing that camp center. And within 5 years, we were going to start it. So, yesterday night he said about 3 years, and here he is planning the camp center for 5 years. Willfully forgetting. I'm not blaming that uncle, but that's a good example. You know, he's already 87, so he can forget, of course. You know, he can. I was just thinking, uncle, the way what I'm speaking about this elder, and I cannot say like that. You know, uncle is 80 plus, he can say like that. I was just thinking the way he was putting across certain truths. So, here we see that Peter is observing that willful forgetfulness. If Peter would see my and your life, your bank balance, your FDs, you're thinking about it, your the whole passion, your fight, your quarrel, your decisions, your dreams, does it anything have to do with the Lord's coming? Anything? None of this will really stop you. You may be able to do the same thing you are doing, but then the way you look at it would go different. You know, that's what we understand over here. So I want to now emphasize the importance of keeping this a serious matter in our heart. This is a very, very serious thing. And not only that, I hope you know that those who love his appearing, those who wait for his appearing, even that waiting spirit will be rewarded. I'm going to show you 2-3 verses, and by the time I'm up, we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know? Just think, have the Lord, have anybody in this world who is really waiting for his coming? You know, the need of somebody waiting for you. Why? For example, my grandmother went to be with the Lord last January, I hope. After that, many of my aunt and uncle are not visiting my home. Why? Because grandmother has gone, and now, you know, there is nobody to... Have you get the point? Otherwise, grandmother is always waiting. My children should come. And they have a kind of pull towards our house. And now they may come maybe once in a year or something. You know. But earlier it was not like that. It was like almost every week they would visit. Now, whenever I go away from my home, I know my children are waiting. And the first thing they would ask, Papa, when are you going to come? What I'm saying is that, does our Lord has this privilege of boasting among the angels, saying, my children are waiting? In fact, the Lord was saying, I wonder when the Son of God, when he comes, will he find? What kind of faith? Do you think believers would not be there? Believers would be there. They would be believers. We are there. But how many of you are longing? Giving the... You know, some people, they say, when I die, nobody will cry. What's his desire? He want to make everybody cry when he dies? What does it mean? Nobody wants me, you know. Nobody cares for me. Can the Lord get that privilege? Say, see, I'm going to meet my bride who is longing for me. Look at her heart. If I would know that my family is not waiting for me to come back, how it's going to affect me? I don't know how many of you have experienced, but I'm sure I'll be able to connect it. You know, as a bachelor, we are not in a hurry to go to our room, right? But just think, you brought your wife and you got a home. How eager you would be in those initial months to reach your home after the office. Are you able to connect? So that is something the Lord is wanting in us. I want to read a couple of more verses. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, who is writing this? Peter. So Peter is saying, and when the chief shepherd appears. You see, now this morning only Angel was reminding us that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren, bring them also. But was Peter able to do it properly? He in fact took them for fishing. And suddenly, on the shore, with breakfast, the chief shepherd appeared. Was it a glorious meeting? Huh? I think Peter was really, you know, worried. And so he's writing, it happened once with me. Let it not happen with you. The chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, see verse 3 also, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, exactly what Peter failed. If you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you will be able to 100% connect with the Gospels of, especially with Peter and his personal life. Every verse, and it's wonderful to see. And all what he is saying is that, don't do what I did. You know, when I was in Navy, sometimes we have special orders coming to refresh the sailors. So this particular officer, I think his name was Vivekananda, somebody like that. So he came and he didn't read that article. He just brought, summoned all of us and then he started reading it. You know, it is about the dress code. And he started reading it saying, please don't put your pen in the pocket, okay? You know? And then he says, don't wear any rings. This I have, I cannot remove it. Please excuse me. Okay, you are not supposed to keep any paper in your pocket. See, I have a lot of things to do. Don't look at me. You don't put. This is the way he was reading that article. Are you getting the point? Exactly, you will find it in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Everything what Peter says, you'll be able to connect like that. For example, when Peter starts in 2 Peter, what does he say? He says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Was he counting his faith precious? He is the one who said, you are the Son of God. And then what are you doing now? I am going fishing. What are you doing now? And, just cursing Jesus Christ in front of him, in front of a girl. Are you counting your faith precious? Every word. Look at the next verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Was Peter's grace and peace multiplying because of the knowledge he had about Jesus Christ? No, he was losing his peace. He was running around. He was crying bitterly. He was completely confused. He was the one who ran inside the tomb because he was not believing the Lord's coming. Was he having grace and peace? Look at the next verse. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Is it true to Peter? He is saying divine power which God is giving is sufficient for... It is sufficient for the whole life and godliness. Is it true for Peter? Peter was seeking for some other kind of power. Why did he raise his sword? He thought his sword would protect Jesus Christ. Was he saying that his divine power was sufficient? That's why I told every verse. And then I read another verse saying that giving all diligence add to your faith. Was Peter adding? I told you. Just like my officer who was reading and then finding all the holes in himself. Peter was saying, let it not happen with you. Let it not happen with you. And so, we here see that crown of glory, when the chief shepherd will appear, you will receive. So, that's what we need to understand. The word of God, when we read, how literally, directly serious we are. Like taking things as it is. I want to show you a verse. How many of you have really thought something about this verse? It's probably Luke chapter 12 verse 13. A simple verse, yet I think, I don't know whether anybody have really considered this verse so that they should take one step in their life. Regarding that verse. Chapter 12 verse 33. Yeah, 33. Can somebody of you please help me to read that? Luke chapter 12 verse 33.
The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment.
Brother, Luke chapter 12 verse 33.
Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth.
Yeah. After reading this, have any of you thought about what should I do about this verse? What's it written? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. One step. I'm not saying whether you have taken one step. Whether you have considered how to take the step. Should I take the step? Or this is a step which I can take. God allows it to take. Have I taken? Should I pray about it? I think Most of us has read this portion saying, let's go. Come on, let's be practical. And probably the situation in the Lord's time was, if people want to give something, alms, they have to sell because they don't have much, you know, left over with them. So maybe they may have to sell. But what does this verse teaches me is this. There is no limit. There is no restriction when God gives you a thought of doing something for Him. Is there any limit for being good? I love this thought. I love this thought. You know, in the Old Testament, it's written that after the harvest, if you forget, that sheaf, you know, that after the harvest, if you forget one of the sheaf and you left it in the farm or in the field, and while you were going, you suddenly remembered, oh, I forgot to take, you know, the corner I left it in. Don't go back, the Lord is saying. And then what the Lord is saying? Let the strangers and the foreigners take it. What kind of a people he was trying to build in the Old Testament? Oh, gracious and generous. And we brethren, we are not even gracious enough to say a loud hallelujah. We restrict even that.
Hallelujah. You know.
We are afraid of opening up. And this is what I am saying. And how good I can be to a person. We again, you know, what do you mean by gracious? Gracious is something we give to a person, maybe he is not worthy of. That is what we got. That is how salvation we got. Have you ever given to somebody about whom you know he is not worthy of receiving that favor? Are you gracious is my question. Have you given or done anything good to a person whom you know is not worthy of? That may be foolishness to many of us, but what I am asking is that if you do something like that, will that particular act be rejected by God saying that was a foolish step, no marks for it? I believe there is no limit when it comes to being good. The God who gives rain and sun, He knows the unworthy is also enjoying it. It's okay. You know, today we will not be able to relate it with the sheaf in the field. Let's think like this: you dropped your purse or something, and or you lost 1,000 rupees. It fell somewhere in the road, and while going, you said, "Let that man enjoy that 1,000 rupees who got it." Have you ever thought about it like that? No, I am not saying I am doing it or you should do, but what does this Deuteronomy story teaches us? What kind of a God we have? And if we think like that, anyway, I am not going to get that 1,000 rupees. So let me think like this. How happy that guy would be who got that 1,000 rupees. Praise the Lord. Can you think like that? Anyway, you are not going to get that 1,000 rupees back. Can you think like that? You will be cursing, you will be saying, these people, I will never get it. Nobody is righteous. All are corrupted. That's what you are going to say. That's what you are going to say. Huh. So if you have this one thing in your mind, I think many of our lifestyle will become a kind of uneasy lifestyle. We will not be very comfortable in buying more shares, investing more in houses and lands. I think we will not be comfortable, or we will feel I am doing a foolish thing, yet I am doing this because I know the Lord is coming. At least by this message, let that happen. You do what you want to do, but let you be discomforted by doing what you're doing. The pace which we are going so fast, the believers, wherever they go, they are getting super rich. They are not just coming out of that, poverty zone or average zone, going super rich. And none of us are worried that when I go and the Lord will come, all this is going to be enjoyed by the Antichrist. Let it happen, but one thing, till I am here, as Peter is saying, till I am in this tent, I will steal my money to grow. No sharing. And how many people at the same time around us are in dire need of finance or help of various needs? How many of you know that many of our own believers are struggling for daily drinking water? Just because they cannot manage a temporary tank in their home. How many of you are aware of it? There were a time where we all went through like that, right? We had that problem once upon a time in our life. But why now we have no clue? We don't know such people. But there are many like that. I'm just giving an example. My time is up, so I want to wind up just by saying this. Peter is saying, I remind you. I want to just read those verses for you once more, so that it will have some effect in you. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder. I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For these people, they willfully forget. Verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I think Peter has an experience on this part also. When he says, 1,000 years, one day, and one day, 1,000 years. When he went to the Transfiguration Mount, he said, oh Lord, let us be here. How many years? Toward eternity. Because this is like a fraction of a second. Within no time you are asking us to go down. The glance of eternity. He says, if we live 1,000 over here, still on 1,001th year, I will murmur saying, why should we go so fast? It's like one day with the Lord. And of course, waiting for the Lord is like, the waiting is always like that, right? When we wait for somebody, we say, oh, where is this man? The time is not moving. So the Lord is saying, for the Lord, 1,000 years is like one day. And one day is like 1,000 years. Will the Lord help you, bless you? At least the Lord could see that when you study, when you go for another course, when you jump from one job to another job, when you think about investing, when you quarrel, when you decide, when you plan, you also think of his coming. Of his coming. And you make plans, keeping this as a center thought. My Lord is going to come. Hope you remember that verse where the Lord says, because the servant thought the master is delaying. How did the Lord address that servant? What's the name of that servant? Evil servant. If we are going to be rewarded for looking forward for his coming, the Lord is saying, I am going to reward with such words to those who are not looking for my coming. Evil servant. What does the evil servant think? My Lord is delaying. Delaying. Even delaying is an evil thought. Some people say, oh, the God of Old Testament is cruel and the God of New Testament is gracious. It is sin to say like that. It almost makes the Lord to stand up and shout. May the Lord help us with these words. It is going to be glorified.